Are you looking to take your knowledge of Egypt to the next level? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eric's Guide to Ancient Egypt with your host, historian and Egyptology PhD grad from UCLA, Eric.
This episode of Eric's Guide to Ancient Egypt, and today is just going to be a quick podcast, but it was a request that I actually get a fair amount, so I thought, why not do a quick, 5-10 minute podcast about it? So what we're going to be talking about today is Egypt. Now, we talk about Egypt every day on this podcast, or at least every day I do a podcast. So I don't mean that we're going to be talking about an aspect of Egyptian civilization. We're actually going to be talking about the term Egypt. Why we call Egypt, Egypt? Is that what the ancient Egyptians call it? Is that even what the modern day Egyptians who live there call it today? So let's just dive right in. In fact, for most of Egyptian history, it wasn't referred to as Egypt. The ancient Egyptian word for Egypt is actually Kemet, and Kemet means the black land. To understand why they would call it this, you kind of have to get into a little bit of geography. So to give you an abbreviated version, when we're looking at ancient Egypt, Herodotus, who was, the so-called father of history, said, Egypt is the gift of the Nile. And you can really see that to be true. Even if you visit Egypt today, you can literally have one foot in the sand and another foot, in a crop and a bit of green. The line between the arable land, what you can farm, what you can plant in, what you can harvest, and sand that you can't do much of anything with is that sharp. I mean, you can literally, like I said, have one foot in each side. So for the Egyptians, they saw that black, fertile soil as representing their civilization, as representing order. So for the Egyptians, that's how they defined themselves. They were actually the Remech and Kemet, the people of Egypt. It's not what they referred to as their language. The language of hieroglyphs specifically, I've sometimes seen that. For the ancient Egyptians, hieroglyphs were actually Medu Necher, and that's the divine, words, what they're kind of talking about there. But Kemet is how they referred to the ancient country. Now, the name Egypt is actually, though, derived from ancient Egyptian. So how did we get there? Well, as I said, for most of its history, it was referred to by its inhabitants as Kemet. But eventually they began to refer to Egypt as the Hutkata. And what that means is the mansion or the temple of the Ka of the god Ta. That was in the city of Memphis, which was one of, the capitals of ancient Egypt, one of the large important cities. And eventually, that kind of became a name for the entire country. The Egyptians started to referring to the entire land as the Hutkata. Now, over time, there's kind of some subtle changes that occur with the language, as occur with most languages. So that first word that means temple or mansion, that hut, the T on the end is feminine. And those T's begin to stop being pronounced. So what it would actually sound like, eventually at time, and it's hard to say exactly when this happened, but probably might have even happened in the New Kingdom when we're starting to maybe lose some of those T's, although it is very hard to kind of deal with this kind of study of the Egyptian language because in the hieroglyphs, the vowels aren't preserved. So we don't know exactly how things are pronounced. And because the writing system is so conservative, we know that what they're writing very early on begins to divorce from what they're actually speaking. But nevertheless, Hutkata, that T begins to drop off and it's, something like Hukata. So this, by the time we have Greeks coming in and they're writing with an alphabet, we have that hu as really when there must have been an A in there. So the sound's actually like an ah. We have a K, right? That ka becomes a g. That's where we get the Egypt, the g. And then ta is pretty much the same, although the Greeks would have put one of their ending on it. They would have put an os, to indicate it as a nominal word. So we would have akaptos, or Egyptos. Now, interestingly, that Egyptos and then the people living there, the Egypti, that we see by the time we have the Arab invasion, about 640 coming in of the Common Era, by Amr ibn al-As, who was actually somebody who was a contemporary of the Prophet Muhammad, although the conquering of Egypt actually happens after Muhammad's death. He begins to come in, and one of the things we see is that there's actually difficulty, it seems like, by native Arabic speakers to actually pronounce that Egypt, and they actually pronounce it as Copti. And that Copti actually kind of survives because we talk about the Coptic Church and we talk about Copts. And that's actually an indigenous group. And that actually, that Coptic Church is actually, as a liturgical language, as a religious language, keeps, you know, the ancient Egyptian language alive. So even though it's not really spoken, it does survive in the Egyptian church's writing. Now, the most interesting thing, and people who visited Egypt will know this, the Egyptians who live there today don't, in Arabic, refer to Egypt as Egypt. They actually, and if you look at the sources and what people say there, they actually refer to it in Arabic as Maser. And Maser, I've seen means a lot of different things. I've seen that it can mean country. I've seen that it can mean fortress. And what I quite like, what I was originally told when I took Arabic, although I've forgotten most of it, by my Arabic instructor, was that as this kind of most far-flung region of the caliphate that was kind of created, that Egypt was kind of seen as this outpost, right? It was the farthest region of the empire, so they referred to it as, you know, this kind of fortress or maser, and that name has come to mean Egypt. Although in some context, it also can be referred to, and people use it just to mean Cairo. So there you have it. Egypt itself is actually from the ancient Egyptian, although for much of ancient Egyptian history, it's not what they called it. Since we're talking about language, one other quick one I can give you, if we're talking about the name of the Nile, that actually comes from the ancient Egyptian word that was simply river. So they would say Na Iteru, and that would be the river. In a very similar way, that T kind of falls off, and interestingly enough, the R kind of becomes and morphs linguistically into an L. So there we actually have Na Ieru, and that just becomes, you know, Na Il, and that's Nile. That's what we have there. So there you have it. That's why we call Egypt Egypt and why we call the Nile the Nile. As I said, this is just a quick podcast for today, but it was something that I had a request to do, and I thought, oh, it's pretty easy, do it pretty quick, so hopefully you've enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Eric's Guide to Ancient Egypt. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit ericsguidetoancientegypt.com. If you liked this episode, please don't forget to leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher. We'll catch you next time.